Martin Luther, one of the fathers of the Protestant Reformation, was once asked to describe the nature of true worship. His answer, the tenth leper turning back. Now, that word worship means to ascribe value or worth to something. To worship is to value. 10 lepers were cleansed. All of them rushed off to present themselves to the priests, knowing that their cleansing would mean they could return to their homes and their families and their jobs. And no doubt they were all filled with joy and were thankful. But one of them, when his eyes were opened to his change of circumstance, came back and threw himself to the ground and thanked God. He worshiped God. And the scripture then tells us that this one, in addition to being made clean, was made well. There's an important difference between those two forms of healing, between the cleansing and the making well. Cleansing or purifying, the original Greek word can be translated either way. It means their skin diseases were healed. Now, in the first century, in that part of the world, the term leprosy covered a multitude of conditions. Today, we recognize diagnoses of psoriasis, dermatitis, alopecia, sarcoidosis, impetigo, and scabies as all being different diseases or conditions. But in Jesus' time and in Naaman's time, leprosy was an all-encompassing term. It came to be equated with impurity, and contagion was a concern. Hence, those suffering from any one of those conditions were sent away from society. The healing Jesus gives to each one of those 10 is life-giving. He sends them first to the temple, where they haven't been allowed to worship because of their disease. They are to show the priests and have the priests pronounce them clean, which follows the rules of scripture and tradition. But then with the priest's blessing, these men can return to their homes and their families and their jobs. Jesus restores life to them. And one of them returns to Jesus. He bows down, he praises God. All of them have received the same precious gift. This one turns back and gives God a gift. He sees Jesus. He gives his praise. He gives his worship. And then, Luke tells us, this one is saved. Now, the Greek word used here can be translated as made well or made whole or saved. It can even mean a relationship with God is restored. 10 were healed. One was saved. And oh, by the way, says the scripture, this one was a Samaritan. Samaria is mentioned more often in Luke's gospel than any of the other gospel accounts. The region of Samaria sits between Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. On a modern map of the Middle East, we'd locate Samaria as the region east and north of Tel Aviv, extending toward Capernaum on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Once upon a time, back in the days of King David and King Solomon, this region known as Samaria was part of the nation of Israel. When the nation of Assyria conquered the northern kingdom, their conquest included this region. And then as time went by, the Israelites living there married people of other races and other ethnicities. Over time, they developed their own religious traditions, and they worshiped at a sacred site on Mount Gerizim instead of traveling to Jerusalem to the temple. Eventually, the region north of Samaria, around the Sea of Galilee, became a largely Jewish region, as was the region around Jerusalem. And so Samaria, where there were these alternative worship practices and this alternative site, and where they used the Greek language instead of Hebrew, well, Samaria sits in between those other regions, and a rivalry developed between these brothers and sisters. In fact, it became so contentious that often travelers between Galilee and Jerusalem would go miles out of their way in order to avoid setting foot in Samaria. And so here, in this no man's land, along the border between Samaria and Galilee, while he is on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus' presence is part of the good news. When Jesus was 8 days old and his parents presented him in the temple, a man named Simeon saw him there and said of this infant, "My eyes have seen God's salvation, a light of revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." John the Baptist said, "In Jesus, all people will see God's salvation." And when the risen Jesus commissioned his followers, he named Samaria as a sort of gateway on their mission. "You will be my witnesses," he tells them, "in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus' message, God's love, are for all people, and all people are meant for a relationship with God. For centuries, the Samaritans have felt only judgment from their siblings across the border, and they have probably spit judgment right back at the Judeans. A rabbi once asked his students, "How can you determine the hour of dawn when the night ends and the day begins?" One of the rabbi's students suggested, "When from a distance you can distinguish between a dog and a sheep." "No," said the rabbi, "that's not it." "Is it when you can distinguish between a fig tree and a grapevine?" asked a second student. "No," the teacher replied. "Well, then please tell us the answer," the students said. "It is then," said the teacher, "when you can look into the face of another human being and you have enough light in you to recognize your brother or your sister. Until then, it is night and darkness is still within us." On his way to Jerusalem in this borderland between the two rival groups, Jesus sees 10 sick, hurting men. And he offers the greatest gift he has, the gift of seeing each one as a brother, even this one Samaritan who could be labeled as an enemy. And in response, this Samaritan brother perceives a healing happening in himself as the barrier between them falls away. And he turns back and he sees God in the face of Jesus. And he worships. And he's made whole. Friends, do you have enough light in you to recognize everyone as a brother or a sister? Or are there walls still between you? Walls of judgment, walls that separate, walls created by differences of geography, ethnicity, race, gender, wealth, status, even political leanings. Is there a dis-ease in you that keeps you trapped in the borderlands? The good news of Jesus Christ is that God seeks you and God sees you wherever you are, even, especially, at the margins. God looks on you with the love and the light that can bring healing and wholeness and restoration to your soul. If you would be made well, if you seek the freedom of living life without the burdens of walls and the despair of division, leave the darkness behind and step into God's light. For when we can recognize each human face as a brother or a sister, then we truly worship God, who created all of us as beloved children. Amen.